Senator Bert Johnson from Detroit. Senator, how are you?
I'm always great on your show, Tony. How are you?
Well, we appreciate having you on the program. Before we talk a little bit about the minimum wage, just want to get your take on the budget.
Well, the budget, I think, is a bad one because I don't think it protects people. I think it shores up the wealthy, and I think there's a bunch of gimmicks in it when the governor and the Republican-led legislature put a little money back that they stole over the last budget cycle and call that giving back to citizens. Disingenuous as it is, they will stand out on the stump and call it good government that supports people. But I think it's another flaw in the failed budget.
What do you mean stole?
Well, they took money from young people in the K-12 budget system and gave it to corporations. They took money from seniors through an onerous pension tax that diminishes their ability to get through a day, get through a month, get through a year in a healthy fiscal way. They took money from veterans. They took money from people. And taking money out of the hides of people in an economy that's still trying to resuscitate itself is a very bad thing, and it doesn't allow people to go forward. But it does allow corporations to put more money in their pocket. And since that was the governor's aim, I think he got what he wanted.
Senator Johnson, is there a way that these social programs could have been addressed funding-wise and allow businesses to have access to just operating more efficiently to create more jobs?
I do think there was a way to do that, Tony. As a matter of fact, with the budget surplus that the governor was out on the stump touting in this year's budget report before the legislature, that was money that, like I said, they stole, cobbled together, put in the bank, and then called that a rainy day fund, a healthy general fund, a healthy school aid fund, considering the fact that they knocked off the earned income tax credit subsidy that we had here in Michigan that combined with the federal credit would have given us a really good opportunity to provide bridge benefits to people who are trying to just make it. There was a chance to keep some of that money in the pockets of people while at the same time assuaging some of the tax burden on the businesses. And people need to understand that Democrats, Tony, are not against business. We're not against the interest of business and making money. We are against the interest of businesses making money when it's profits over people, and we don't support people. So there was a way to do both, and it never happened.
So is there, is it bad that we have money in a rainy day fund that we're not saving for an emergency?
No, it's not bad. It just means that we've put it in there by any means necessary, and oftentimes that comes at the expense of people. And so I would have liked to have seen Democrats be invited to the table and have an opportunity to sit down, review all the books, and find more meaningful ways to put money in the rainy day fund so that when Michigan needs help and can help itself, that it's productive and that it's not onerous against anybody.
What's your perspective that for the second consecutive year the budget was done in a timely manner?
Well, that's always a good thing because citizens for some time had witnessed gridlock in a bifurcated legislature, and, you know, that's always a good thing, but you know, just because we get it done fast doesn't mean we've done it right. And so I still am. I'm always going to be on the side of folks when I know that they've been done wrong in a budget process.
The education budget last time was cut. A little bit more money was put back. This time we've got a little bit of a tax break coming back. Is the governor headed in the right direction by doing this?
Well, you know as well as I do, Tony, it's an election season, and the Republican House is up for election just as much as the Democratic House is up. And so what you see the governor doing right now is playing the game of trying to look good in front of constituents by saying that he's done all the right things to put Michigan back on solid footing. Now, to the extent that he's given a little bit of the money back that he's taken, that can be seen as a good thing for folks who, in fact, see their wages go up, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. That's going to be seen as a good thing, but the truth is always the truth. He took the money in the first place, and giving a little bit of it back is not an increase, but more of a restoration.
Let's talk about the bill that you've introduced to raise the minimum wage in Michigan.
I think it's a pretty good bill. It brings us into the future and catches workers up to the amount of money that they're being asked to spend as consumers, whether it's in gas or in milk or in cereal and groceries and health care and subsidies and of the like, but it's an opportunity really for us to shore up the workers' wage.
What are the details?
Well, it's a STEP program, so essentially from today out to January 1st of 2015, we take them to a total of $10. Now, let me be frank, we do need $10 today. But I do understand the environment in which I exist, and that is a Republican-dominated, not just legislature, but government all across the state of Michigan. And so what we did was we took, there's an increase that would occur, if the bill were to pass today, Tony, there's an increase that would occur on January 1st of 13. I believe that would take us to $7.90. The next increase would happen in July of 13. That would take us to about $8.40, and so on and so forth, all the way to $10 by January 1st of 15.
How has the feedback from the folks that you work with been on this?
Well, it's from the Democratic standpoint, a ton of Democratic sponsors, including our leadership, and folks love it. And so we're going to see, I'm sure, a little bit of pushback from the businesses. But, you know, economists across the country will tell you, in fact, they'll preach, that when you improve the financial status of those who are working and then consuming on the back end, that the economy improves overall. And so I don't expect that there will be the type of pushback that would kill the proposal. And I think this is a very, very good opportunity for Michigan to become more honest about how it deals with workers and workplace employment. So I think, you know, folks are going to scoff a little bit, but not enough to kill the process.
What do you tell the middle-class Democratic business owner who says he can't afford this?
Well, I got a couple calls from a couple friends who are small business owners yesterday, and I told them this. So long as we begin to attack the consumer price index at the same time while trying to drive up the worker's wage, we will be in a position to see the economy move forward in, at all at one time so that their business does not suffer, but that the worker is a better worker. He's more, since he's more, made more whole, he's feeling better, he's doing better, he's coming to work at a very good rate and that kind of thing. And I tell the middle-class business owner to hold on because his relief is coming as well when the economy is healed and he's in a position to actually produce more because folks can consume more.
All right. Now, this is all fine and dandy, but this helps a minority of people. There are more than 70,000 high-paying, high-tech jobs, not only in the computer industry, but high-tech jobs in manufacturing here in the state of Michigan. And we don't have a workforce that's educated enough or skilled enough to take these high-paying jobs that would put more into the tax structure here into the state. What are we going to do about trying to find people for those jobs?
Excellent point, Tony. And it's something that I've been out on the stump talking with people about every single day. In order to see this economy really heal, we've got to take over these jobs that are high-paying jobs, high-paying careers. And to the extent that in some instances we've seen the community, whole communities, let go of education as one of the true ways to elevate oneself out of their fiscal problems, then we've asked people to go back to school, to seek this training, to take hold of the training that's been offered, whether it's through the federal government or state or city government subsidies, so that they can actually become better folks in the career field. It's a shame that we're still importing over 3,000 nurses out of Canada every day into Michigan, and specifically Detroit, to work because we don't have the type of numbers here that will support the nursing needs. But it is a real opportunity to tell folks, look, you've got to embrace school. You've got to go get an education because today there's no opportunity to walk away from high school without a diploma. Go sign up at the plant gate and start tomorrow.
You recently introduced legislation that would expand hate crime laws. Tell us about this.
Well, it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. I live in the city of Highland Park, which, as you know, is the heart and capital of the city of Detroit. And there is a high population of transvestites who are in the area, in addition to a very, very good center, the Ruth Ellis Center, who takes care of the needs of those LGBT and questioning youth who are runaways or kicked out of their homes after they come out or are pushed out with respect to their sexuality. We've seen over the last year a number of these people, and they're whole citizens, just like I am, just like you am, you are, Tony. We've seen some of these individuals murdered, castigated, and I'm asking that these heinous crimes be classified as hate crimes under the hate crime statute, and that these folks who are perpetrators be given the same punishment that they would if they had committed a hate crime.
How are they classified now?
Well, right now they're just regular crimes. And so wherein a young man was murdered, a young man who's a transvestite was murdered and dismembered, it was just classified as murder, homicide, which is, you know, a pretty bad count or pretty bad charge as it is, and you could, in fact, receive life for it. But we want to classify it under hate crimes because right now everything, every crime against those LGBT does not result in homicide, Tony. And so wherein these people are actually experiencing this type of malice coming out of their own community, we want to make sure that the perpetrators know that this will not be tolerated. It's going to be stopped.
Where do you stand on the bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
Well, because I've done a little bit of study about the bridge and understand that operations could very easily slip over to the bridge out of Buffalo, and our international border crossing is, in fact, we're in a position where if we don't improve our bridge, expand the lanes and whatnot, we could see a little bit of that business move over into New York. I want to see a new bridge built, and frankly, I want to see a bridge built that allows our citizens, our workers, to build it. And how it's dealt with, you know, has become a huge red herring in the legislature. Not sure what the governor has planned for how he's going to try to go after this, but it does appear to me that the time to build a bridge is now.
Well, he does not need the support of the legislature if he doesn't use funding from the state, and there's been a lot of dialogue behind the scenes that's the route he is looking to go. So you still support the bridge even if he doesn't go through the center of the House?
Well, I think it sets a bad precedent to go around the legislature, and I'm sure he's got his people burning the midnight oil to understand if he can do it without us. I think he ought to be very careful with that, and I'm supportive of a bridge, but I don't want to be left back in the process. I think citizens ask people like me to make decisions on things like that, and I think he ought to engage us.
How do you think the neighborhoods would receive this?
Oh, I think they would be pissed to the extent that they're going to be forced to move, to the extent that they're going to be uprooted, churches. And it's not just homes and families. It's actually businesses and churches and the like. And so I think people are going to be really upset if it appears that this thing is coming and it has not had an opportunity to be vetted at the legislative level.
We've been talking with Senator Burt Johnson, who's from Detroit. Every time I talk to you, I'm reminded of my grandparents who used to live on Webb Street just off the lodge. Senator, it's good to talk with you.
It's always good to talk with you, and I grew up not so far from your grandparents on Dexter and Sturtevant.
All right, enjoy your weekend.
You as well. Take care.